Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. The father-son relationship is vital to boys learning how to grow up into manhood. And part of maturing into manhood is understanding sex and sexuality. But how can fathers and sons talk about sex and sexuality? Our guests today are John and Lucas Fort, the father-son duo who wrote the book Father-Son Accountability, Integrity Through Relationship. They share their story of how they learned to talk about sex and other difficult topics and offer tips and pitfalls they discovered along the way. So if you're a dad or a son who wants to gain insights and helpful tools for talking about sex, this podcast will give you confidence to engage such conversations. To get the Father-Son Accountability book, visit bebroken.org/store. For more resources, check out links in today's show notes, and would you please rate and review the podcast after listening, because this really does help others to find it. Pure Sex Radio is produced by Be Broken Ministries, and Be Broken's mission is to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Now let's get to this great conversation with John and Lucas. Well, all right, John and Lucas Fort, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's not every day that we get to get a father-son duo on the podcast, so it's exciting. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Hey, before we dive into the revised edition of the Father-Son Accountability book that you guys both wrote together, just give us the lay of the land. Who are John and Lucas Fort? Kind of where are you in your lives right now? And why are we even having this conversation?
John and Lucas Fort. Well, we're both very large people, that's for sure. So I'm Lucas. I'm 24 years old, living out in Oregon, just down the road from my dad, John. Yeah. Here. And like you were saying, I got the third generation going. I got my new son Elias, and living at home with my wife out here and working. And my dad and I have a pretty extensive history going back about 10 years at this point. We wrote that book, Father-Son Accountability, together. We've spoken at a few events and showed up on a couple different podcasts here and there, and helping fathers and sons learn how to, you know, communicate with each other and the best way to build a relationship with each other, and having it be a two-way street, not just one way.
Yeah, this all started when Lucas was like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was not working for Be Broken, but working for another sexual integrity group. Training group leaders, support group leaders for men and women about who were dealing with sexual addiction. And I remember looking at Lucas and thinking, I became a sex addict when porn was just magazines. And it's like, this guy doesn't have a chance without like a serious help. And the funny thing was, is I did and do for a living talk about porn and sex and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I do for a living. But thinking about talking to my son, and I have a daughter too, was terrifying. It's like, mm-hmm. Wow, this is really different. And so the book came about in my wife's stumbling attempts to try to help our kids with integrity. The idea was, I didn't want them to turn out like what happened to my wife and I, both of our situations. So that was kind of the motivation behind this. And then it kind of grew from there.
Yeah. So let's talk more about the reasoning behind why you actually wrote the book, Father-Son Accountability. And I'm glad that you guys pointed out, you know, we are going to be talking eventually about the 2.0 version, because you've got a new revised edition that just came out this mm-hmm. year. But like you said, the original Father-Son Accountability book, it came about 8-10 years ago, something like that, or somewhere around there. What were all the factors that led to you guys saying, let's actually write a book on this?
So we live in the Pacific Northwest, and there is a conference up here in Seattle, in the Seattle area, called Higher Ground Men. And somewhere along the line, they started letting dads bring their sons 13 and up. And so it's still called Higher Ground Men, but there's teenage boys and men there. And it's like 400 to 600 people there at this event. It was a pretty nice event. And I had been going there and speaking about other issues, but they kept telling dads to talk to your sons, but they never said about what. And by this time, mm-hmm. Lucas was 15 and we were doing all this. And I said, hey, can we come and just show people, when you say talk to your son, let's show them what we're talking about. So that's what we did. But we realized we only had an hour, and that was, we had, there was so much more to say that I started writing a handout. Well, that handout turned into a book. And so that's how it started out.
So Lucas, tell us about what that experience was like when you went up to Higher Ground Men and you and your dad were doing those sessions together. Cause I remember that. And I also remember some of the responses that you got from that. I'd love to hear from your perspective, what that was like as a teenager to go through that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny looking back at it, you know, you would have thought that I'd be super nervous, not wanting to talk about it, but by that point, my dad and I had already been, you know, so open with each other and talking about these sorts of things that, and at that rate, I also was talking to people I knew because I'm a big people person. I talk to everybody. And especially as a teenager, there were some times where I might've gone a little overboard with what I talked about. That being said, I was already talking to other teenagers about this subject anyway. And so being there at the actual conference to me didn't really, it was interesting. It was, I knew that the kids that were going there, the young boys there, were probably going to be pretty nervous thinking about what their dads were going to think about it. And I know that the reason the dads brought them there were because they either didn't know what to talk about, maybe they just didn't know where to start or that sort of thing. And going there, I wanted to give my perspective as a kid as well, basically letting them know that a lot of the thoughts they had about, oh, well, my dad's going to be angry at me, my dad's not going to understand me. And me being there as the perspective to kind of show the dads like, hey, as a kid, as myself, I want to tell you what's going through your son's head and giving them that insider understanding and that kind of point of view. And then also to the kids, letting them know like, hey, like I promise your dad wants the best for you. They wouldn't be here with you if that wasn't the case. And so having that perspective. So starting as a teenager and going to those conferences, I thought it was a great experience. I always, every time, I mean, the number of times that dads would be blown away, like, whoa, wait a second. There's like this teenager up here talking about these super hefty topics and having no problem with it. And it's just, you know, that was always really fascinating. But yeah, I mean, it was always a great experience. And
yeah, if I remember correctly, especially that first one, it was the dads that had far more nervous responses than the teenage boys. It seemed like the dads had more of like the deer in the headlights, you know, hair blown back kind of a response.
You want me to talk about what with my son?
So let's then actually go there. Cause Lucas, you know, let's go back to before you guys were doing the conferences and the books and all of that. And I'd love to hear from you of what did it feel like growing up talking to your dad about feelings, sex, pornography, and some of the other things that you discuss in the book, because you're right, those are some big topics. And sometimes those are things that just do not get talked about between a father and a son. So what was that like for you as a 10, 11, 12 year old boy starting to have these conversations?
Yeah. I mean, it was awkward at first, you know. My dad says, all right, we're going to go out and do some yard work. And I'm like, okay, great. And then we're sitting out there and then he starts talking about, all right, well, starts going into the conversation. It's like, oh man. So that became a pretty common thing at the beginning was anytime he said yard work, I'm like, all right, here we go. But my initial reaction though, at first it was uncomfortable. I didn't, you know, want to talk about it. It felt kind of private and everything, but my dad pretty quickly and early on was coming from the perspective, not of, and he made it clear that it wasn't about trying to be like catching me making a mistake or punishing me if I did anything that was wrong or, you know, not good. He made it really clear early on that it was about me, you know, getting it off my chest, but then also having that communication, feeling comfortable to talk about it. And if we didn't have those initial conversations about, you know, it's good to talk about it, I'm going to be, you know, accepting of you and everything you're going through. If we hadn't had that initially, then it wouldn't have led to me feeling more comfortable to talk about it and realizing, you know, the right way to go and everything. But definitely early on, it was kind of awkward, but a lot of it was focused around the relationship aspect and understanding that I wasn't wrong or in the bad. Everything I was doing was normal and something that my dad expected because he went through similar things. And so a lot of it too was him opening up and talking about his perspective and what happened with him and using that to show me I wasn't alone in the battle. about all of these things. And then on top of that, he would also open up about things that were, you know, happening in his life at that time too. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I used to have these issues, but I'm totally great now. Now let me teach you how to do it right. It was, I have had these problems and I still have these, you know, these temptations and all mm-hmm. these issues coming up. And so it was kind of the, it was almost teaching me kind of how, you know, this is how as men we should be communicating with each other and talking about it. And that, mm-hmm. that idea was definitely set in at an early stage, and which helped me to be where I am now. And as I grew up, being more comfortable talking about it. And I wouldn't have been at those conferences and writing the books if it weren't for mm-hmm. my dad starting the conversation and including me on it and, you know, having us be on an equal level rather than some, you know, the parent being up here talking down to the kid.
Mm-hmm. So John, from your perspective, when you, I don't know if this was a great grand strategy that you had initially, but it seems like it was pretty wise to have something like yard work as sort of a buffer in terms of, because I think sometimes one of the things that terrifies dads is, are you telling me that I've got to sit down at a table face to face across from my son and then start saying words like sex, pornography, emotions? Was that even part of a strategy of saying, let's go out in the backyard and do some yard work? Or did that just sort of kind of morph? And why is it vital that maybe there is somewhat of a buffer there where it feels like we can maybe have an easier on-ramp to these conversations rather than feeling like, man, you got to have this stark moment in time?
Well, to me, it was purposeful in the sense of I wanted to make it like, hey, we're doing something and let's talk about this while we're doing something, instead of, although we eventually definitely had conversations where it's just, we were just sitting there talking, but never mm-hmm. looking at each other. It was like, you know, we have to, there really was yard work to be done. I wasn't making up, but it was like, okay, I'm going to take advantage of this situation where we're both out in the yard, not staring into each other's faces. I later learned from other experts in parenting that you are not supposed to sit face to face to your kids during these personal conversations. You should always be side by side or something like that, you know, in general, because it's just too weird. So it's somewhat like purposeful and somewhat accidental how that turned out. I teach them, don't sit your kid down and stare in their face and talk about all this stuff.
You know, and even in many ways, it makes me think of the Shema, where we're told to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then it says, teach it to our children. When you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk, when you go to, you know, the market. So there is a sense in which all of this needs to be part of just when we are doing life that we are interacting with these truths. With that being said, you guys discuss the difference in the book between talking at each other and with each other. Can you explain more about what you mean in that?
Well, so what I began to realize as I put this together is that the typical thing parents do is sit their kids down, lecture to them, and wait for the kid to nod and say, good. That's talking at someone. In fact, a kid can talk at their parents the same way. But I'm going to say talking with each other is more about asking, how do you feel? What do you think about that? This is what I think about that. Again, it's the idea of raising, Lucas already said, is raising your son up to adult level for these conversations. In other words, maybe not all the time you think of your son as an adult, but during these conversations, you say, you're coming up to my level and we're going to talk somewhat as equals for this to happen. Do you have any other thoughts about the talking with thing versus at?
Yeah, I mean, what he said was pretty spot on. I feel like, you know, it's coming from the kid's perspective when we first had these initial conversations when I was around, you know, 10, 11, and then even up until now, but especially then, I feel like a lot of it, like he said, was asking the questions, not so much just, you know, oh, does this make sense? Yes or no. But also, you know, how do you feel about that? What does that make you feel? Okay, you said you had this issue. How'd you feel when that happened? And that's where I think the emotional aspect is the biggest player, is getting them to kind of talk about emotions. And then on top of that, not, you know, on top of asking questions, getting them to talk, but then the part of you as a parent being on the same level is also saying, yeah, so when I had this happen, I felt this way, kind of talking about your own emotions as well. And so kind of, you know, the showing them, not only showing them I'm receptive of your emotions and how you're feeling, but I also am going to give that back in response and give my emotions and my feelings too.
Mm-hmm. Now, the title of the book is Father-Son Accountability. And sometimes that term accountability can be like a lightning rod for people. It can be kind of overly narrowly defined. It can be become kind of rigid and rules-based and all that. But you guys structured somewhat, I mean, there's certainly handlebars that you guys have put in the book in terms of, like, especially kind of coaching fathers and sons. How do you actually, you know, engage one another? What does some of that look like, practically speaking, from the book in terms of, okay, what does this term accountability really mean in terms of what you're trying to highlight in the book? And how do fathers and sons really do that kind of in a practical way?
Yeah, well, the first version of the book we wrote, it was like 2015 or 16 or 17. I can't remember when it was, but or maybe earlier, I don't know. But the first version of the book, at that time, the word accountability was not, it's become a more negative term since then. Does that make sense? I almost changed the title to Father-Son Allies, but then I wanted to kind of carry the idea, you know, this is just the same book, second version, so I kept that title in there. But we do talk about, you're really more your son's ally than that. There is the point of accountability. Now the father is the son's accountability partner, ally. The son is not the father's accountability. In other words, the son, I'm still sharing with him. Now we are more, but back then, but he knew that I had other men in my life who were my accountability. And so he didn't have to feel like I have to be my dad's dad. That's not right, to put that kind of thing on there. Mm-hmm. But there was that tension with that word accountability. I just went ahead and used it because that's kind of that's how we started. And hopefully it doesn't turn too many people off. But
yeah, well, I feel like accountability, I feel like a lot of people kind of associate that with work, or maybe from a kid's perspective with chores or doing homework and that kind of stuff of, well, I have to do this. Otherwise, you know, my parents are going to get upset at me. And I think I understand what you're talking about of accountability being having that negative connotation. I feel like at least the way we address it in the book and when we talk about it in events and talking to, you know, a pair of father son is more the accountability portion of that is more so that is not the focal point. The accountability is not, I feel like it's not about making sure, you know, you're not watching porn, you're not, you know, doing these, you know, explicit things. It's more so being a accountability of like you sharing each other's emotions. And so accountable of like,
like for example, let's say that somebody messes up and looks at porn and you talk about that.
Yeah.
But so the result of that is not, well, now how are we going to punish or how are we going to restrict? But it's like, well, how did you feel? What brought this on? What can we do next time to address those feelings before it gets to the point that you feel like you have to go look at porn? Does that make sense? So it's more of that kind of thing. So the accountability is we're accountable to each other to keep talking about this.
Yeah.
But the relationship is more of supporting and being each other's ally.
Yeah. So not being accountable of you're doing something you shouldn't be, but accountable of actually sharing and being open about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the most important thing that fathers and sons need to remember when they're having these conversations?
Well, the first thing is to have them. It's like, okay, keep talking. And even if you have no idea what, just keep talking. And I would say, if nothing else, talk about how you're feeling. Lucas has mentioned that. That's actually more important than anything else. Because the biggest way a kid goes wrong with their sexuality is when they don't know what to do with their feelings. It becomes a way to deal with feelings. And so those of us like myself who were sex and porn addicts in the past, that's why I had become that, because I didn't know how to deal with that. When I went into therapy, the first thing my therapist worked with me is on identifying what I was feeling and finding better ways to deal with that. So when you're looking at a kid, they're not an addict, they're a kid, and they're not an adult. And so let's teach them how to deal with feelings. Now, I don't expect that dads know how to do that, so because no one taught me that. So that's the purpose of the book, is to teach the dad and the son at the same time how to identify their feelings and talk about them and find ways to work through them. That's really the big picture. It's not porn and all that kind of stuff. It's feelings.
Yeah. And then going in line with that as well, from the father's perspective, you know, when your son or when your child is sharing their feelings and their experiences and everything like that, is not any time to be, you know, laying some sort of punishment or talking down. It's more been like, well, I'm really glad you told me about that. And, you know, trying to get them to further explain how they're feeling and validating their feelings. Like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I've, you know, and then relating to that, I have had experiences where I felt that way because of such and such. And so coming from the parent perspective, that way your child continues to want to share and be open and come to you, even if it ends up being something outside of accountability or sexual topics, is furthering that relationship to them. They feel comfortable coming to you about absolutely anything, so that when they become an adult, they continue to do that. You have a more open, understanding relationship.
Yeah. And I think that's huge for every parent to know, is that they've got to establish, I mean, even from our Christian worldview, there's never a moment in the entire history of humanity where God has punished anyone for confessing sin. There's no punishment in confession. So the idea, because that's all that God ever wants, is us to bring things into the light. And so I think what you're saying there is really important for all parents to hear. Like, what are you doing to establish a safe place to where, hey, in whatever way that you mess up or screw up or cross a line, come bring it into the light. There will be no punishment for confessing that. There's certainly, as you guys talked about with the accountability, right? There's things to talk through in that, so that it's not, you don't become what I call a serial confessor. Like, nothing is changing in my heart, and so my behaviors aren't changing. But I like what you guys are saying there. Now, this year is, you guys released the second edition. So this is a 2.0 version of the Father-Son Accountability book. So what is new? What's changed in this edition versus the first edition?
Well, when we wrote the first one, it's really early on. So we were just threw some stuff out there. And what dads were telling me was, I read one chapter a week with my son. And I said, I never thought about that. And then also, the original origin was kind of a handout for a presentation. And so even though it had a lot of really good stuff in it, some of the organization and that kind of stuff, was talking about things that you should do with your son when he's 5 years old, but you don't pick this book up till he's 12. So like, what point is that? It doesn't help a lot. So we redid it into 8 weeks. And so it's specific. So there's only 10 minutes of reading each week. And we put in a bunch of discussion questions about that. So it's designed to be read one chapter a week, more or less. So that's really different. The other big difference is Lucas wrote a lot more. When he was 15, he didn't write as much. He wrote basically half this book this time. And so that's another big difference in that. We also added things like curiosity, like, you know, about sex and things, you know, some of the things that kind of got left out in the other book that are, might as well be talking about these things, you know. Lucas has a good part in there, but a time when he was 17 years old and heard a word and knew it had to do something with sex, but didn't know what it was, and asked me that question. And I was so glad he asked me. And he was talking about how that, you know, at 17, you think you're supposed to know everything, but that's no.
Yeah.
And let's just say, John, you and I mean, at our ages, we still have to say we don't know everything. Right. So
that's right.
And that's, I think that's part of what I get out of the book, is you're trying to help fathers and sons really kind of establish such a strong framework for an ongoing relationship, like for an ongoing growth of being able to talk with each other. Because what I see about you guys even now to this day, I mean, Lucas, you're 24 years old now, and it's not as if somehow you go, well, we kind of put a pin in that part of our relationship and we don't talk anymore. I mean, I know you and your dad talk all the time. I would say it's probably far richer today than it was even before, because you guys established that freedom to be able to talk about everything. Can you guys talk about what would you say to the dads or the sons out there, or both, who are really feeling the sense of kind of fear of just, you know, maybe from a dad's perspective of, I don't have any context or point of reference for having done this, because I didn't have a father that did this to me. So there's a sense in which there's just a total panic about how do I take this next step? What would you guys like to say to the fathers and sons out there regarding fear?
I'll talk about the fathers and Lucas talk about the sons. So from we've surveyed dads, and they tell us, I'm afraid. First, I don't know what to say. a second, I'm afraid that this will strain our relationship between me and my son. And finally, the big one is I'm afraid he'll find out something about my past. I don't want him to know about my past because then he won't respect me anymore. And so what I would say is, number one, this book is designed just to pick up and do it. You don't have to know anything. You just take zero preparation on anybody's part. You pick it up, get your son, and start reading. It's that's how we designed it, particularly the second edition. But the big thing is I promise you that if you do this the way and have the discussions that it does, and you don't yell at each other, this will make you closer. It will do the opposite. It will make you closer with your son than anything else I can imagine. So it doesn't do that. And you can talk about the whole respecting your dad thing when you find out the past and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So for the sons and coming into it, being nervous and everything. As a son, I feel like in talking to other, you know, kids when I was in high school, and even now hearing from younger boys and everything, I feel like it makes you respect your dad even more, having these conversations and going through the book and what we talk about in there, because it, again, is bringing you guys on the same level. And so it's the whole point of the book and the whole point of what we teach and share with the fathers and sons is to have it be a level-headed conversation and not be, well, you have the dad being the teacher and the lecturer talking down and showing them how to do it. It's you're talking with each other as equals, both trying to work through it together, because it is something you want to work through together. In the same way that, you know, our grown men will get together at conferences and, you know, as equals discuss it. It's the same thing with this, is it's once you talk about it, everyone's on the same level. So far as the respect portion of it, I feel like this will grow your respect for your fathers by having these conversations in the way that we lay everything out. And for being nervous about it, I mean, I know we talk about it in the book that it's the fathers first that share, and it's from them that get the ball rolling. But I would say that, you know, if your dad is willing to go through this book and start these conversations in the first place, if they're willing to be doing that, then I'd say that you don't have to worry about opening up and sharing all these details and talking on a more emotional level, because they're already prepared for it, or they're getting themselves prepared for it. So if they're opening the front door, then this is the opportunity to go into it. And
What's one of the most unexpected benefits that you guys have experienced having been on this journey together for more than 10 years?
Well, this is repeating, but I, like other dads, was worried that this would make Lucas feel weird around me and not respect me. But the opposite has happened, is that having these discussions and talking about our feelings at this deep level and the mistakes that each one of us have made makes me feel way closer to him than I ever was with my dad, or that I ever thought a dad could be with their son. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a different plane of relationship.
Yeah. And for me, I guess it's kind of a two-parter. And that is the first one being that coming away from all this and over all these years, I don't know that I've met another father-son pair that's, you know, my age that, or even older, that has as good of a relationship with their dad. And I feel like that's something that I am more than happy to boast about, that I have such an amazing relationship with my dad, because it is 100% unique, and I don't come across many people that are like that. On top of that, the whole of us having a great relationship, I'd say the other thing I didn't expect to be a benefit of all this is my comfort level now to talk about this subject and talk about these things with other people. I mean, one of the things I do is talk to people at work about this kind of subject, which you'd think is kind of weird, but I mean, once you get comfortable and you're more okay opening up about your feelings and emotions, it makes it opens up more opportunities than you think it would. And so there's kind of those two kind of benefits that I'd say, and things I didn't expect to happen. But
well, and one of the things that I would hope that fathers and sons would experience when they really start digging in these conversations is that they may have gone in with one focus, which is, oh my goodness, I want to make sure that my son doesn't get involved with pornography or any of the other kind of things. And they come out with a realization that it's always been actually about the health and the closeness of the relationship. And then ironically, the secondary benefit is that you don't want to go to all these other things that are dangerous for your life because you now have actually a healthy relationship. So I think what I love about what you guys have done in the book is by making the relationship the primary thing, what they initially thought the primary thing, there's still a secondary benefit to it. Like if you really do establish the strength of relationship, then I think both father and son are far less inclined to be motivated to go towards things that are about false intimacy or about, you know, just self-gratification and all that. As we wrap up here, any final words of encouragement that you would have for fathers and sons out there? And then how can people get the book?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the biggest thing is, you know, don't hesitate. Don't be worried about what, you know, you think might happen. I'd say go ahead and jump right in and start opening things up and start the conversations. Maybe go pick up a shovel and do some yard work. I mean, if that's what you got to do. Yeah.
I think yard work is going to become the euphemism now that we have for father son accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah. Time for some yard work, son. So.
Yeah. I would just say, just do it, you know, because it just get the book and do it. We really, really worked hard the second time to make it like there is zero preparation needed. You just pick it up, pick a day, sit down and read the first chapter. That's how that goes. It doesn't matter how scared you feel. I promise you, I was terrified the first time we started talking. So that's okay. You just have to do something. As far as where you can get the book, bebroken.org has it in the bookstore. It's also on Amazon. Interestingly enough, if you look it up on Amazon, look up, don't use my name. For some reason, it comes up much easier with Lucas's name. So if you type in Lucas Ford on Amazon, it will come up. If you type my name, there must be a bunch of other authors with name John Ford. I don't know, but, but father, son accountability. On either place.
Yeah. Great. Well, and we'll make sure that's all that is in the show notes, but thank you guys. Thank you guys for continuing to be vulnerable with your story. I think it is a model for other fathers and sons. And I can vouch for you guys personally because, you know, it's one thing to bring people onto a podcast and say, oh yeah, let's really highlight this awesome father and son. I know you guys. I've been around both of you. It's legit. You're the real deal. So if anybody has trouble with thinking there's no father and son to talk about that, I will vouch for you guys till the cows come home that it's true. But thanks again for being with us today.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, look at the show notes. We're going to put all the information in there about how you can get connected to father-son accountability. Also, check out our family care resource page on our website. If you just go to bebroken.org/family, you can get a lot of other resources that we have. We also even do father-son webinars where there's training for fathers and sons over Zoom. And so you can get information about that as well. We're glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.